The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, the VSiN app, and of course, right here, iHeartRadio. All brought to you by BetMGM. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin on this Wednesday. How you doing, Kelly? Making his way into the South Point Hotel Casino, tip of the strip.
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. I'm doing well. Yeah, coming in today, We talk about this all the time, how the South Point is always mind-blowing, how there's people always in the casino gambling, right? And we'll leave at 10 o'clock in the morning. We're always shocked how filled the casino is.
It's amazing.
I'm a little disappointed this morning, Gil.
What's wrong?
Walked in, go to Starbucks like I normally do. There's like 7 people there having like Zoom meetings and treating this place like it's a library, and like sitting down and reading and having meetings and stuff. I look at the casino, there's like barely anybody at the blackjack tables.
Wow.
I'm disappointed in local Las Vegas residents and, you know, anybody else out here in Vegas. Get here and gamble, okay? This is a casino. Don't come here for meetings. Come here to gamble.
Kelly Bidlin, ladies and gentlemen. Grievance, top of the show.
So this is what happens when you put a Starbucks in a casino, even though I go to the Starbucks every single day.
Yeah, South Point's not a place for Zoom meetings, my goodness. We will have on the show today, I hope you'll be okay, though. You'll make it through?
Yeah, I'm going to make it through. I'm going to make it through.
Drew Dinsick will join us, talk NBA, NFL, and tennis with us with the Australian Open happening next week, the next 2 weeks. Looking forward to that. Mike Pritchard on the NFL, our own Mike Pritchard, Will Hill. Always interesting talking NBA and NFL with him. Sitting on a 50-1 Brooklyn Nets ticket, that kid. And
okay.
Jason Weingarten from under a cloud of smoke. We will also talk about, we did this a few weeks ago when we were talking about NFL awards. There was a poll, a straw poll of 26 front office members, 15 of whom were GMs, giving insight on who these awards in the NFL might go to, season-long awards. Well, someone has gotten in front of Tim Bontemps in the NBA. Little mid-season straw poll of awards, and we'll look into those and where the betting value might exist, where, again, there are some favorites or short shots in betting markets and NBA awards, season-long awards, that don't even come up in this piece.
We talk about it every year with the Tim Bontemps straw poll that he does, but it is such a good indicator of where these voters are going. And, I mean, last year it was one of those – when that came out, what does it usually come out? End of January, beginning of February, something like that. It basically held true through the end of the season, the one last year.
I think that NFL one is. I really do. Like, I mean, when Kyle Shanahan wins Coach of the Year, no one should be surprised. Because it's said that this could happen in this thing that we did a few weeks ago. And the reason is because these people who vote on awards, who do they talk to? They talk to front office people.
Yep.
So they're heavily influenced by that. So we'll do that as well.
And they talk to each other, Gil, right? They don't talk to goobers like you and me that often about what we
goobers.
What our betting stand is on whatever market, right? Like, they view it through such a different lens. And that's, like, such a key to betting awards, right, is you have to try to handicap the voters, right? We're finally getting an insight into what the voters are thinking.
Are goobers still sold or just Raisinets at this point?
I don't know.
Okay. All right, I got a few things I want to get off my chest here. May I ruminate? Am I allowed to do that?
Of course, yeah.
All right, the nice part about this week between the regular season of the NFL and the postseason of the NFL is we get to sort of stop and reset, review what was predicted, and we talked to Aaron Schatz for a couple segments yesterday from Football Outsiders. We did a whole thing with him. Talked about Matt Buchalter coming on this show, giving 7 alt-season win totals before the season. He went 5-2. A little shout-out. Want to point out Joe Pita came on before the season as well. Want to shout-out Joe. Remember, he did 2 long segments, each of which was 1 season win total, and under on the Broncos and under on the Raiders, which both came through with flying colors.
Not even close.
And he got mocked. He took a lot of incoming for those. Yeah. And I just want to say there's a reason we have the people we have on this show before the season. His Broncos piece was really about how people were overrating Russell Wilson and how if you really looked into his numbers, he wasn't better than, I think, Teddy Bridgewater was his biggest comparison in that piece. His scrambling numbers, his rushing numbers, like everything about him was going down since the injury, and people weren't really, for some reason, focused in on that. And so that, by the way, there was certainly an assist from Nathaniel Hackett's shenanigans for 15 games, but that came through. And then the Raiders won largely centered around some of Joe's baseball season win total principles that he had talked about for many years on the Beating the Book podcast, among other outlets, ESPN as well. where it was about replacements. He famously for the 2011 Mets talked about when they got Jose Reyes, oh my God, the Mets are going to be so good. Their season win total went up 7 games, but he's like, it's the production he's replacing. If they're moving the first baseman to second base and they're platooning, I think it was Ike Miller and I can't remember who was it, also at first base for the Mets, but it, essentially you're not losing that much production with Reyes leaving, pardon me. And so the season total went down 7 games. And so he bet the over in it, and it came through miraculously. Well, it was the whole thing with Devontae Adams, where it's like, okay, their season win total shouldn't skyrocket if what he is really replacing is the production of DeSean Jackson, Henry Ruggs, Bryan Edwards, who was the fourth. There was a fourth. Zay Jones was in there. It's kind of comparable. So their season win total shouldn't shoot that far up. He went under, and they both hit again, Broncos and Raiders. So shout out to Joe.
Yeah, good job, Joe. I was all about the division of death in the NFL this year. Nope, not at all.
Hey, we were all the greatest division on paper.
Joe had a better feel for that one than I did, that's for sure.
So the other thing is, you know, Aaron Schatz was here. And when I've had Aaron Schatz on this show or on the podcast at this time of year, literally for like 11 or 12 years, when I was a little pisher doing a little podcast, nobody else was doing podcasts in those days, he would come on. Like, imagine that. What a mensch.
Yeah.
And so I actually found my notes on an iPad, like the second iteration of an iPad from like 2011. And one of the things on there, and this is relevant when we go into Wild Card Weekend, and I realize that Wild Card Weekend's format has changed, right? We're playing 7 teams now per conference, not 6. So instead of 2 byes, we have 1 bye. And instead of a 3-6 versus 4-5, we now have 2-7 versus 3-6, 2-7, 3-6, and 4-5 games. But one of the notes in there, one of the tried and true notes that I had in there is, and this is from 2011, said since 1978, regular season winners cover 82.6% of the time. What that means is the spread doesn't come into play 82.6% of the time. Either the dog wins outright or the favorite wins in cover. 82.6. That sounds like a lot to people. 17.4% is not a negligible percentage of time. But the playoffs, it jumps up to 84.3% where the spread doesn't matter. And Wild Card Weekend, from the database beginning in 1978, from the wild card format beginning in 1978, Wild Card Weekend, 88.64% of the time, winners cover. 88.64% of the time. No other week in the NFL does that happen more at a higher rate. And so, yes, even while the format has changed and there will be 4 or 5 games that might pollute that, it still bears true for the 2-7s, one would think, and the 3-6s that have these big spreads. And we do have 3 big spreads this week. So I guess all I'm saying is, if your instinct is this particular weekend to go dog, maybe think again about it. The Niners could very easily cover historically, based on those numbers, the 9.5 against the Seahawks. And this one has come down. The Bills, now just a 9.5-point favorite, they could easily cover against the Dolphins. But let me tell you, though, on guessing lines yesterday, Kelly, remember I guessed 7.5 on this.
Yep.
When I said, if this is not Skylar Thompson, I'm guessing 7.5. It's coming my way.
Yeah, we were sitting here doing big bets yesterday, and I was freaking out, losing my mind, trying to figure out why this dropped 2 points in the matter of like an hour yesterday. I think it's just action coming in on the Dolphins, because there's no word. I mean, I haven't seen anything more on Tua or Teddy.
Are you going to clear Tua for this? Oh, no. And then the Bengals, 7-point favorites against the Ravens. We also don't know about their quarterback situation in Baltimore. It feels like Lamar Jackson is trending not to play, sort of reading the tea leaves. Who knows? But again, if your instinct is to play the dogs, just keep in mind, 88.64% of the time, winners cover Wild Card Weekend, no higher rate. And then the other thing I wanted to talk about is we live in the state of Nevada, Kelly. And I've talked, you know, look, I've lived many places, Kelly, D.C., Maryland, Massachusetts for school, California most of my adult life, been in Florida a long time. Never have I had trouble with the authorities in any of those jurisdictions. In Nevada, though, pardon me, you know, there's that whole Nevada gaming arc that I went through where it was clear where they were like, just remember, you're our guest, right? The casino. And then when you were out, by the way, I got caught for speeding. I don't know if you know this. I went 81 in a 65, and the police officer called me a menace because I had a Curb Your Enthusiasm moment where, when, like, he brought back the ticket. I said to him, I go, while I have you here, Could you do something about the stuff flying out of the trucks? And it was like, I'm on the streets more than you are, and you're much more of a menace. People like you are more of a menace than those trucks are. I promise you. I'm like, thanks, officer. Let me tell you.
That story, that's fantastic. I've heard you mention that. I mean, we've talked about the stuff flying out of the back of the truck. I can't believe you brought it up to a cop. It's
legit
hilarious.
Felt like the music was dun, 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 dun. So anyway.
By the way, why am I here? I have a suggestion on this city.
I felt like saying, I'll tell you what, officer, why don't you drive my rocket ship and I'll drive your cruiser and see if you can keep it below 81. So Nevada is problematic in that way for me. But what it's also problematic, and you can relate to this, is betting. This ain't the epicenter of betting. We don't have things available to us like you do perhaps in your jurisdiction, whether that's New Jersey, New York, Colorado, Arizona, wherever you are listening to this. And so one of the things is we do have access to look, though, at the lines that you do have in some of the markets you do have. Kelly, want to bet for people in other states that we can't bet on? Want to bet right now?
Great find by you.
Stage of elimination, DraftKings, Cowboys and Buccaneers. To lose in wild card round, Cowboys are plus 130. To lose in divisional round, they're plus 225. Buccaneers. To lose in wild card round, minus 155. To lose in divisional round, plus 250. Both the Cowboys and the Buccaneers who are playing each other this weekend to lose in the divisional round are plus north of plus 200. They're well into the plus 200s, mid plus 200s. Bet them both. For you to lose, one of those two teams has to get to the NFC Championship. Kelly, if we didn't live in this state, how much would we be consumed by just browsing markets?
Oh, so much.
My God. Bet it. Bucks and Cowboys, stage of elimination. You're welcome. Drew Dinsick on the other side. Numbers Game, Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM with all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds, specials, and much more. Download the BetMGM app today. Stop by any MGM casino on the strip with your state-issued ID to open an account. Start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Skill Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. I forgot you weren't here when that story happened on the roads.
Yeah, I wasn't here. Take it easy out there, you Vegas menace.
I just think it's really true, though. You get to a point in your life where you don't care anymore. You're just going to say what's on your mind. You do something about these trucks.
That's hilarious.
He did not like that at all. He did not like that at all.
Gave the cop advice on how to clean up the city.
I was just a helpful citizen. He didn't like it.
You're like, I'm not going to do anything about it myself, but here's some advice for you.
we get tweets at Beating the Book. Call me Al. Yeah, a little Paul Simon reference. Yo, boss. After paying credit card bills, people are waiting for them taxes to drop, LOL. So, yeah, Starbucks getting a lot of love at the moment. Slow month, things picking up in a month after Valentine's Day. I think that's for you, Kelly.
Yeah, it was for me. About my opening comments.
Your
not
boss.
Enough people playing blackjack at 7:15. Come on.
He called you boss. Mark Geiger, in-house attorney. He said, you youngins need to realize we senior citizen locals, I'm a former resident, still frequently visit, go to these joints for cheap eats, slot club deals, movies, and to hang out with cronies. Tell number 9 to stop kvetching about the lines. It takes us a while to order. You're number 9, by the way.
Oh, okay.
Producer number 9. Jesse Welch, another Joe Pita principle was that the bet against / on the teams that won / lost a large variance of one score games. That's why I'm pumped to bet the under on the Vikings season win total next year. Well, Jesse, you aren't the only one aware of that one score record is the only problem. So that will be built into the season win total line. Primetime, Cowboys _ Cubs 1. Happy hump day, fellow goobers, Gil and Kelly. Just your daily reminder that Mike Tomlin has never had a losing season as head coach, and Tom Brady has never lost to the Dallas Cowboys. Is that true about Tom Brady? Never lost to the Cowboys?
I don't know. Sounds like it could be true.
Get our crack research team on this.
Yeah.
All right, we'll get more tweets as the show goes on. So we tease this at the top of the show. Who's this? Yeah, we're going to do that? Drew's next? Or Drew's
now?
Yeah,
we have an audible. Drew's on right now.
He's I thought we were waiting on Drew for 2, and then we were going to do this first.
Yeah, it was an audible.
Oh, I should really know what the audibles are on this show. Ladies and gentlemen, We can bring it up with Drew, though, can't we? Am I allowed to do that? Drew Densick joins us, ladies and gentlemen, at whale underscore capper. He, of course, is the host, the co-host of both the Deep Dive podcast and the Bet the Edge podcast. He joins us now. How you doing, Drew?
I'm doing well, you guys. And just to close the loop on a little conversation you were having there, Tom Brady, seven Super Bowl championships, seven wins, zero losses in his career against the Cowboys.
There you go. There it is. It's all the research we need. Mm.
Lock.
What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
I mean, actionable info right here.
Let's start there. And let's start with wildcard week. We'll get your NBA thoughts here on the other side.
Oh, sure.
What do you like about? Do you like that game? Let's start with that one. Anything there for you?
I played the Brady angle. Not really because of that at all. In fact, 0% because of that. I like where the Bucs are trending in terms of health. This Buccaneers team is effectively coming in at about the same strength that they played the Cowboys week one, with the exception of Shaq Barrett. It looks like offensive line news is trending positively for them. We may even see Ryan Jensen, which is a wild upgrade for them at center. But either way, the health and just in, just general chemistry between Brady and Evans that was on display against the Cowboys was exciting. On display against the Panthers was exciting. And this Cowboys team has serious limitations right now in defense. And it's not because of scheme. It's because of personnel. They have had a decent amount of attrition to the skill, the skill that existed within that secondary. So the Bucs are going to be able to score in this game. I think the total is a little low at 45.5. This has potential for, whiffs of a shootout. And if you're going to tell me that I get either Brady in a playoff situation or I get Dak Prescott, who's been pretty squirrely, not just in sort of high pressure moments over the balance of his career, but, particularly since he's been dealing with what looks to be maybe a re-aggravated ankle, this looks like wrong team favorite to me. I think this should at a minimum be a pick 'em. I think Buccaneers are, even at a losing record for the season, are live to win the NFC just based on experience, based on health. And, their path might doesn't even look especially scary. Like, they realistically could, just get to go against, they host Dak Prescott. They get to go potentially against, the likes of Brock Purdy or, Jalen Hurts coming off a long layoff. Like, that's pretty appealing.
So you think there could be a
playoff run.
You think there could be, not to use your, you think there could be a deeper, dive into the playoffs, not to use your podcast title, for the Buccaneers, sure, than just this round.
Yeah, I mean, the NFC is bad. Every team is flawed, and or not even just flawed, but like some of these teams are like outright bad. But they're here, and you could certainly pull a sample of Buccaneers games and qualify them as one of the bad teams. But they've never been healthier than they are heading into this week, and I would expect they get healthier as they go deeper into the playoffs as well. The only guy that really scares you on the Cowboys offense at this point, considering health and just late recent performances, CeeDee Lamb. I like his, I like Jamel Dean's ability to, match up well with him one-on-one, assuming that Winfield's going to be available, who is who's hugely important safety over the top to double up Lamb if needed. But realistically, the Todd Bowles defense is aggressive. It has always succeeded relatively well against Dak Prescott. So, this looks like a spot where Brady and company eke out a win. And I like them at plus 120 or better on the money line.
Listen, I got no issue with them, with you saying that they'll win this season. I'm more amazed by you saying that they'll go further. By the way, this Buccaneers Cowboys game, there is no result. I mean, maybe a blowout of epic proportions would be something else. But if the Cowboys win or the Buccaneers win, the reaction at the other side is the same to me. It's like, well, yeah, the Cowboys win. You're like, yeah, well, the Buccaneers sucked all year, right? Like, they had so many bad games, right? They could have won just four games if you look at it a different way. And if the Buccaneers win, yeah, I'll be like, well, Brady in the playoffs against a really lame Dak Prescott Cowboys team, that's not a surprise either, right? I mean, you would buy into both of those.
Yeah, I mean, yes. But at the same time, I think what you're saying is pretty close to what I'm saying, which is, shouldn't this be like a pick 'em?
Well, I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not at all disagreeing with you about this game, Drew. Not at all about this game.
Okay. You're saying that neither of these teams are especially good. But yeah, at the same time, Brady's the most experienced quarterback in this field of NFC teams, and it's the gap is so monumental that matters. The idea that we're not going to at some point get to see Buccaneers Eagles after, you know, the way that last year's playoff went and that entirely lopsided market and that entirely lopsided result and Hurts having to, kind of answer some questions about his ability to play against high level teams, which he hadn't had to do all season. If you get a Buccaneers Eagles market, and if that's next week in the divisional round, that's going to be super, super fun. Very excited for that potential. And, the matchup against the Niners and Brock Purdy doesn't scare me, even though the Buccaneers got absolutely waxed by the Niners last time they played.
Wow.
Brock Purdy in a playoff setting. I mean, Brock Purdy's gotten so overrated at this point that I've completely given up the ghost. This is amazing. People were like, oh, he's a top five quarterback in the NFL right now. And I'm literally like, are we watching the same sport?
Who said he was a top five quarterback?
I don't want to embarrass this person.
Okay.
But it's been published in high level outlets.
All right, we'll revisit that potential game because again, remember they reseed, so the Buccaneers could either play the Eagles or the Niners, depending how things shake out. If they advance and how things shake out this week, what is your favorite bet this weekend?
Oh man.
And you don't even have to characterize it that way. What's another bet?
So I took the 10 with Seattle. I know that's moved to 9.5 this morning. So apologies if you're like, why are you past posting on us? But I thought 10 was too much there. I think that's going to be a somewhat competitive game. You have a San Francisco team that is conservative. Kyle Shanahan has told you exactly who he is to this point in his life. I don't think you're going to see something broadly different out of him. Brock Purdy making, huge career defining start with relatively little experience. I know this is first playoff game also for Geno Smith. But I just like the attitude Pete Carroll is kind of using this week to get his team fired up. He's a guy that gets the most out of his team in any given week anyway. So familiarity between opponents makes 10 points appealing. Just in general, some of the slippage you've seen from the Niners defense, particularly in the secondary, makes Seattle plus 10 appealing. So ultimately, do I think Seattle has – I just think that's a broad range of outcomes type of game. And if you're going to give me plus 10, I'm going to be pretty happy taking the point.
Okay. The theme of that segment, Drew Dinsick, not a big Niners guy, I would say. Is that accurate, Drew? I think that's accurate. Well, we'll go to break.
They can win the Super Bowl, but
we'll go to break.
I don't mind betting against them.
Okay. We'll come back. We'll get Drew's other football thoughts. We'll get any tennis thoughts from him as well with the Australian Open upon us and NBA thoughts as well. Maybe an awards market or two. Drew Dinsick on the other side. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A Numbers Game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you're looking for a betting edge on football's big game, the VSiN experts have got you covered. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber with an introductory offer of only $9.99. VSiN Pro subscribers get access to our daily recap of the top plays made by VSiN show hosts and guests, tools like our betting splits that let you see where the money and bets are moving every game, deep dive betting reports, VSiN betting guides for the biggest games of the season, where our experts break down brackets, best bets, and all the big game props. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. Visit VSiN.com/subscribe today to sign up for only $9.99 and become part of the Sports Betting Network. That's VSIN.com/subscribe. Skill Alexander, Kelly Bidlin is here as well. Andrew Dinsick at @whale_capper from the Deep Dive and Bet the Edge podcast. Kind enough to hang out with us for not only a second segment today. Drew is actually doing triple duty with me this week. He's on the Megapod after the show today, the NFL Wildcard Megapod, and he's on the Australian Open Pod with me on the Beating the Book feed tomorrow. So working overtime. Really appreciate it, Drew. Thank you so much once again. We'll see if we can't get our buddy Dan Weston on tomorrow, but he's having a little bit of a health issue. Speaking of health issues, I made a little throwaway comment in the first segment of the show where I said, oh, look at this Buffalo-Miami line. And because on guessing lines, I was like, well, let me give you a line without Skylar Thompson. I said 7.5. And I see it's down to 9.5, and we're seeing nines now on this game. And I said in the first segment, I'm like, Tua's not really going to play, is he? Which is my way of saying, is this dude really, with all of his concussion problems, going to play in this game? What are you hearing, and what are you playing?
So yesterday, news trickled out that he was going to practice today. They obviously didn't have a practice report yesterday, so this was all just conjecture that this was coming, and we haven't really even gotten confirmation yet. So I think there's still more coming. But you know, there was some professional action that came in and took the Bills. Came in and took the Dolphins at the 11s and 10.5s, which started the move down to 9.5. I saw a much more kind of convicted play to the over. Which I think makes total sense. Like, if this is a Tua game, then all of a sudden you're expecting a lot more of a game effort out of the Dolphins, and that pushes the Bills score up as well. So, you know, the overall is very live. I would expect that the Dolphins play is just true info based. I don't think anyone really is taking a true position that the Dolphins are going to be competitive in this game, because even if Tua goes, and it surely sounds like he's trying to call his own number, they still have a ton of issues across that roster. Tyreek Hill does not look anywhere close to right. He was really, really struggling with the ankle in that game against the Jets. Waddle also came out of the game with an ankle, so he's not 100%. Bradley Chubb does not look right. They still don't have a left tackle. Teron Armstead not expected to go here. So Dolphins are really, really staring down the barrel of a gun, and the Bills are playing extremely well right now. So I think the true move is coming once we get sort of confirmation here that Tua is going to go. I doubt that this crosses 7.5. This is probably going to get stuck at 8, just because people I know are like finger on the trigger, dying to fire Bills.
Yeah,
me, myself included. So I think there's probably going to be some resistance once the information gets absorbed today. And again, this is all still speculation. I haven't heard any confirmation from the team.
All right. So if you like the Bills, wait and then pound the Bills. But don't wait too long, as always. That's the game. What's the scuttle on the Baltimore quarterback situation?
That was another one yesterday that took off real quick. You know, before the game on Sunday, the report was somewhat positive from some really, really high level sources that Lamar was going to go. But the team did not make any moves that suggested he was going to go, i.e. they basically sat on Huntley from a precautionary standpoint, which suggests, well, I mean, if you're expecting Lamar available for wildcard week, why do you need to play defense on Huntley? You know, the info flipped pretty aggressively, pretty quickly, that Lamar is not playing in this game. And, you know, this is still, you know, somewhat conjecture. It's rumor. It's back channels and, you know, people in alleys, you know, and you know, no names, all anonymous. But yeah, it you know, but this is, again, this was supported with professional action, so I buy it. Lamar not playing means that this probably goes to 8, 8.5. And I think the total has gotten completely nuked to the under, because Tyler Huntley's dealing with a pretty non-trivial shoulder and wrist injury. So you're talking about, like, Ravens are coming in with plan A being keep away, 40 rush attempts, maybe 10 pass attempts for him. So not expecting to see much involvement of the wide receivers in this one. Probably Mark Andrews is the only guy that gets any kind of meaningful targets here. And the under is a decent look as well. 41.5 starting to get real low. But again, if this is all true and if Lamar Jackson is confirmed out, then there's more to go before this is settled.
Grab them sevens, the ones that are still out there.
I'll be on that Bills Bengals teaser in a heartbeat. Yeah. If that Bills numbers come down.
By the way, Allie's, Kelly. Big. Allie's is where things happen.
Yeah, your dens at King's out. Yeah, you gotta watch that. You're walking around, Drew's hanging out in Allie's.
Under the streetlight.
Ironically, I have so much on the Bengals. I was looking at culverts and I was looking at ditches for prospective places to live where I got this information. So it was very convenient doing two things at once, multitasking. That's what you have to do this time of year when we have tennis, basketball, and NFL playoffs all going.
Real quick, that and this is like you could say this sentence every week, but Chargers have injuries.
They do, although they're trending good for the ones that I think matter the most. Mike Williams sort of being the key example. It sounded like from press that, and this is all very public, and I think it's been absorbed a little bit, but Mike Williams is going to practice this week. He's going to play. His back injury that he came out with against the Broncos, why he was playing is a mystery, but, you know, he hurts his back. It looks like it was just spasms, not like an actual meaningful thing that's going to keep him out of this game, so he's going to go. Once that gets absorbed, or maybe the Chargers go up a bit. And I think at that that point, I'm filling my full position on the Jaguars money line. I think the Jaguars win this game. I think the Jaguars are alive in the AFC still. I think this team can score 30 points on anyone, particularly a Chargers defense that still has not solved the running game. And the Jaguars, when they are balanced, takes a lot of pressure off Trevor Lawrence. I think people saw Trevor Lawrence in prime time against Tennessee and are ready to kind of give up on him to a degree. But to me, that was his playoff stinker. That was his debut. You know, that was a win and you're in playoff game. And that was, you know, that was the stinker. I think now with the, you know, with that behind him and at home, not, you know, and just in general with the healthy squad, I think this Jaguars team can really flex a little bit. So I like the Jaguars against the Chargers. And I'm, but true caveat, I'm against some professional groups on that pretty strong. Like this is big time 2A action. I would not expect that move to, you know, I don't think this number is going anywhere impressive.
Yeah, I would agree with that. All right. For those who want to deep dive into the Australian Open, Drew and I will do a podcast on it, the Medium Book Feed, tomorrow once the draw is announced. But let's just do a couple minutes on it here, Drew. First of all, are you betting anything Adelaide or Auckland this week, or do you stay out of those shenanigans?
Oh, I've been betting.
Me too.
My sleep schedule is just completely disrupted already.
Me too.
I was up at 1 a.m. watching the absolute embarrassing performance that Rublev put together that was only matched and maybe even beaten by what Casper Ruud did against Laszlo Giri.
Based on the number, for sure. Yeah.
Oh my God. If you're losing hardcore matches to Laszlo Giri, then I have huge questions about your form. And Casper Ruud amazingly going to go into this tournament as the freaking 2 seed. Embarrassment. Embarrassing. Embarrassing.
The only person Drew dislikes more is Cam Norrie.
Scam Norrie.
Yeah. All right. So
I'm coming around on Scam Norrie a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit. I think he should. Okay. Let's just do this real quick because we have a minute for each. Men's side, no Carlos Alcaraz, an off-season leg injury. My goodness. Novak, 21 Grand Slams. Rafa, 22. Novak trying to match Rafa here. He's -110. Daniil Medvedev is 6-1. Rafa's 12-1. Any other name besides Novak here for you?
I am extremely uninterested in the men's Australian Open. Yeah. This looks like a absolute snooze fest.
Me too.
Now, I thought last year was going to be a snoozer. Medvedev was going to run away with it. And we got one of the more memorable finals of my betting lifetime against Nadal. So maybe I'm wrong. But this looks to me like Djokovic walks. Medvedev likely, if he's on the other side of the draw, is your other finalist. And you are looking at 3-1 Djokovic in the final. And you can put a bow on it. All the other guys that I like as far as like, ooh, those are interesting guys. They could win a quarter. Their futures prices are already beat to minus EV territory. So I don't know that I'm going to have a ton of action on the men's side of the draw outside of some exactas and things like that. But right. The women's, man, oh my goodness.
Okay, so let's get to that. Iga trying to win her fourth slam or second straight. She's 2-1. She's been hovering north and south of that. The days of her getting long shot numbers are gone. Arina Sabalenka is playing the best tennis of her career. This could be her potential realized if she can keep that serve going. She's 6-1. Jessie Pegula, who just beat Iga, is 12-1. Anja Bohr, 12-1. Caroline Garcia, 12-1. Everybody longer than that. What do you like?
Man.
Give me the 30-second version.
This is so hard. I don't like Iga at 2-1. I think Iga's beatable. And realistically, there are so many women in good form right now. This is just going to be an unbelievably good tournament. I have some long shot prices on Zhang Xinwen, although she is dealing with fatigue issues.
She's not looking good. Yeah.
Coco's playing the best tennis of her life. Sabalenka's playing the best of her life. You said it. Caroline Garcia can't be dismissed. I'm out on Jabeur. I'm out on Iga. I'm out on Rybakina. I'm out on Ludmila Samsonova is overpriced. Krejcikova, I'm out. Bianca, I'm out. But then some long shots I'll put in the portfolio.
Okay. Samsonova, great numbers, just mentally weak. Mentally weak. Thank you, Drew.
Yep.
NBA,
hey,
straw poll next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, for a special treat, voice of the network, Ryan Hunter, reads the promo live.
All right, basketball fans can turn a loss into a win with the king of sportsbooks. Just place a single first basket score prop bet on any NBA game. If your bet loses, you'll receive up to $25 back in free bets. Wager confidently and take your game to the next level with BetMGM, an authorized gaming partner of the NBA. Just log into your account or download the BetMGM app and sign up today. then wager on any player to score the first basket in any NBA game. If your bet misses, you'll get up to $25 back in free bets. Turn game time into showtime with BetMGM. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable free bets or site credit. Free bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly.
There you go. Ryan Hunter, everybody. Voice of the network.
Nailed it!
Can you do just one of your lines that you always do like on a regular promo so people know what I'm talking about?
If you didn't catch VEASAN, here's what you missed.
Beautiful. There it is.
Love it. Oh, it's scary.
That's awesome. Thank you, Ryan. I appreciate it. Ryan Hunter, you could do without the Dodgers hat next time, but other than that, it was great. Yeah, other than that, it was wonderful. That's awesome. By the way, if you need Ryan Hunter, he's hireable for all voiceovers. I'm going to be his agent.
His voice is so much better than mine or yours, honestly.
Listen, it's the reason why I had him on the show here to do it.
How smooth is that thing? Wow.
It's awesome. I got to throw me under the bus. What did I do wrong? Just helping the guy out.
Sorry, man. Yours is great. You got a great voice, Gil.
All right. So let's talk about this NBA midseason straw poll. Because this is, again, we're looking for anything that can sort of give us an edge or push us towards, nudge us towards a winning wager in NBA award markets. We did this for the NFL, as we talked about. And Tim Bontemps does this every year for the NBA, and it just manifests perfectly. By the way, do you think this reporter, gentleman's name is Mark Medina?
Mark Medina, yeah.
Do you think he's sort of getting ahead of Bontemps on this?
Yeah, I think so.
You think that's kind of a Bush League move for him?
I don't know. I'm not going to go down that route, but I'll be honest. This is for NBA.com, too. Maybe he's done this before, and I just haven't noticed
it. It could be.
But this did pick up a little bit more steam yesterday. I know at JVT... I saw him tweet it out. Saw a couple people tweet it out. I think this picked up a little bit more steam, but it's not at the level of where Bontemps is,
okay.
That's for sure.
I'll read the results of each, and you'll tell me what the betting market says, okay?
You got it.
All right. So MVP, this is again courtesy of Mark Medina. Where does Mark work? Just where's he work? Do we know?
He is in L.A. Hold on. I'll have to. This was for NBA.com.
Okay, for NBA.com. So MVP, the straw poll, and how many people are at 30 writers, one for each city of an NBA team?
Yeah, one for each city NBA team, two in L.A., two in New York. Oh. And Mark, writer for NBA.com, he also covers the Warriors for Mercury News. Lakers writer for L.A. Daily News.
Two for NBA, two for New York, and two for
NBA. Okay. It's a little all over the place in California.
Luka Doncic is your winner for MVP, but look how closely Nikola Jokic ends up. 43% for Luka Doncic. 40% for Nikola Jokic, which would be a three-peat, correct?
Yeah. And I mean, the most surprising to me on that, I guess, is how much further down Giannis and Tatum
way
are.
Down.
I mean, both of them. Tatum had such a great beginning of the year. If you look at the odds, it's Luka plus 275, Nikola Jokic plus 300. So, yeah, they're right. But look at there's not a huge separation then when Giannis plus 350, Tatum plus 400.
And it also highlights, and you were saying this off air as well, this notion of better fatigue where it comes to Nikola Jokic may not be a thing at all.
We always talk about that in, you know, in different sports, but the NBA and Jokic the past couple of years has been a great example. I think that was – this was maybe one – if this wasn't the most surprising, it was the second most surprising of the results of seeing these, was Jokic, how high in the MVP, where clearly these voters are not tired yet.
Can I get my voice back before you throw me under the bus with a voice now? Jeez.
I really hit a soft
spot
there.
Left a mark.
It's okay, man. I think you're doing okay for yourself.
Oh, I've done all right. Okay, here's the next one. That was MVP. So, again, curious. This one is the easiest one. Rookie of the year, Paolo Banchero, 97%. Yeah. It may not be 97% in the betting market, but it's, you know, you get the idea.
Minus 1,000. He's going to win it, barring some catastrophic injury.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on from that one. Now it gets kind of interesting here. This one is the defensive player of the year. So the straw poll from Mark Medina at NBA.com. Brooke Lopez, 37%. Jaren Jackson Jr., 27%. Jarrett Allen, 10%.
Now this one's interesting to me because is this one where I read this as the voters. This is where I read this as the betting market is ahead of the voters in this, and the voters will come around eventually. And this is where Jaren Jackson is a favorite right now, minus 130, Brooke Lopez plus 400. But if you went back, I mean, I think it was 10 days ago, Gil, maybe less, where Lopez was the favorite in this market.
Mm-hmm.
So we've seen movement, a lot of movement in this market. Nick Claxton's flown up it, too.
By the way, have you, JVT alluded to this yesterday and I didn't really seize on it because the end of the show. But when you watch Brooklyn Nets games, Nick Claxton is everywhere.
He's everywhere. He's awesome. This is so tough. I've had this Claxton conversation a couple times this year. He's amazing. He's great. You're absolutely right. Right? He jumps out of the screen at you. But how much of that is because he's like the only big man
for
on
sure.
Brooklyn, and
for
like,
sure.
And he's, I mean, he's athletic as hell, right? But he kind of draws all those assignments.
A nice situation to be in, that's for sure.
Yes, yeah. If you are a shot blocker like him, it's a nice situation to be in because no one's pressing you for playing time.
Would you bet Brook Lopez at 4-1 is the question?
No, because that's where I think the betting market is ahead of the voters on this one. I think the voters will catch up to that.
All right, we got three more here. Let's go to sixth man of the year. Sixth man of the year. This is interesting because you've got bets here. Jordan Poole in the straw pool. Straw poll. Jordan Poole in the straw poll. 33%. Malcolm Brogdon, 23%. Benedict Mathurin, 13%. Christian Wood, 13%. Jordan Poole, 33%. The betting market on this now, and again, shop around. Not every place will have these.
This one is the most shocking. So the betting favorite in this market right now is Russell Westbrook.
Not even coming up on the grid here.
Not even listed. Now, he was one of like the next chunk where Mark wrote down, hey, the others that got votes, right? But it's probably only one or two votes. He was in that group. But he is minus 140 to win this award. Right now, I mean, that is incredible for seeing how the voters see this market and what the sportsbook view this
What's
market
Jordan
has.
Poole's number?
Jordan Poole is 5-1.
Give me that.
I think it's a good bet.
Give me that right now.
I think it's a good bet. You have Steph Curry returned last night.
Yep.
Look, I think there's some concerns where I love Christian Wood. I actually made a 100-1 bet on him last week. I know JVT did as well. He's out there in the market. The one you got to be careful, like he's 100-1 right now at DraftKings still. I think he's a great bet, and obviously the voters think he's going to be pretty good in this market as far as where he finishes at. Probably the problem is, Gil, you got a lot of these guys that are in this market this year that are going to be right on the edge of what qualifies for sixth man of the year, and it's real simple. It's you have to play more games off the bench than you do in the starting lineup. But Christian Wood's a guy who's been playing in the starting lineup for Dallas for a while now. It was coming off the bench. You don't really know if he's going to qualify. You know, we talked about this, too, when we were talking about this market 2 months ago. This was my concern on Westbrook ever betting. It was if he got traded or something like that. All those rumors were flying around. Would he be starting?
Sure.
He wouldn't even apply. He wouldn't even qualify for this market.
Yeah.
So I think it's tough, but I think look, Norman Powell's 10-1. I like seeing that because I've got a bet on him from preseason. I think Jordan Poole and Malcolm Brogdon right now are both good bets in this market. But I think Jordan Poole 5-1. There's no reason not to bet him. If you watched that Warriors game last night, he needs to be taking as many shots as possible.
Yes, he does.
They're hurting on scoring.
This might be the most fascinating of all of them, though. Most improved player. Now, remember, the NFL has comeback player of the year. NBA has most improved. Straw poll, Lauri Markkanen of the Utah Jazz is 53%. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, no relation, 33%. Haliburton and Simons, 7% each. So there's no question to me that Lauri Markkanen is the most improved player. The deal, though, with this award, and you and I and Matt Brown used to talk about this on Primetime Action all the time, is this doesn't usually – now, I guess NBA people like ourselves who know the league, we know who Lauri Markkanen is, but the average person – isn't really about Lauri Markkanen. This award always goes to someone who was already kind of good and then stepped to the next level. It wasn't like out of oblivion to good.
So, which I kind of think Markkanen is a little bit.
So the betting market, actually, I might side with the betting market here where Gilgeous-Alexander's minus 120 and Markkanen's 2-1.
I've been saying this for a couple weeks now. SGA is getting into the price range and the season has shortened enough where it's getting close to a bet for me, Gil. If this guy's averaging over 30 points a game right now, there is no way he loses this if he finishes the season averaging over 30 points per game.
Coach of the year, real quick, we got to squeeze it in. The straw poll coach of the year done by Mark Medina. Jacques Vaughn, 43%. And come on, of course he is after replacing Steve Nash.
He's second in your betting market right now. He's not even tops. Joe Mazzulla, number one.
Joe Mazzulla, who, of course, replaced Ime Udoka. Bet there for you or no?
I think so. He was my pick as coach of the year right now. I think you could easily bet that plus 260. It's a good bet.
On Vaughn.
Vaughn.
Okay. Very interesting. Our own Mike Pritchard on the NFL on the other side. We'll do that next. Numbers Game, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.